Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. This is the show I've been wanting to do for quite a while. It's a subject that's close to my heart, and I'm sure many of you are going to relate to this ridiculous diagnosis circulating in the medical community today, a diagnosis of default, a diagnosis of exclusion, and one that's, I think, destroying our educational system. It's called attention deficit disorder. It's called, Mrs. Smith, your child is bipolar, manic depressive. You have to understand the evolution of these statements and what they represent in the psychoanalytic community to really understand why you need a different perspective so you don't, in my own words, drink the Kool-Aid. Drink the Kool-Aid. That means to swallow the lie. Most of the time, there's absolutely nothing wrong with your child. And as a mother, as a grandmother, as a parent, as a whatever, when you in your heart and soul feel that that child of yours is gifted, yes, I'm talking about those gifted kids that get these diagnoses in school because they can't sit still, because they have behavioral patterns that really, really aren't compliant with what the educational community called standard. And the first place you're going to look when you hear from this show on that your child has a deficit disorder, especially an attention deficit disorder or a bipolar disorder. Bipolar means what? They split off into another part of themselves that doesn't relate to the classroom. Let me give you a hint on this one. They're bored. I'm going to repeat that. They're bored. Many, 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 many times, attention deficit disorder in a child is nothing more than the child is bored in school. And we've all been bored in school, more or less. And we all remember those shellackings we'd get if we went home and told our parents to do our homework because we were bored. And often it's nothing more than that. Now, that's a profound statement from my perspective, but you see, we've evolved a society today that has to understand things only from the complex point of view. Common sense really doesn't play a role. And I remind you, 50, 60 years ago, my favorite analogy, in the 60s when cigarettes, the current notion was that cigarettes were not anything that you should care about because it wasn't going to harm your body. And those very same cigarettes 30 years later were at the top of the list for the no-no. And what was that? That was people for years in their hearts with their common sense applied, knowing that there was a problem with cigarette smoke. And if you study the evolution of medicine, you see it's filled with moments like this. So I'm going to talk today about the spiritually gifted child. Spiritually gifted. The child who shows a special type of intelligence that's somehow acting in the classroom. I get moms in the office all the time. I know my kid is gifted, but they've been labeled. And once they're labeled, the disease begins. Before they're labeled, especially if you, the parent, stick by your child, you're going to find that your child has perhaps yet undiscovered talents that just don't jive inside society today, especially a classroom. Because it's not just the classroom, it's society in general. People come into the world with very sensitive nervous systems. Very sensitive nervous systems. What does that mean? It means if a child functions on multiple tracks, it means if they walk into a classroom and they can figure out the teacher's personal life by looking at the teacher. If they can't describe it, it's still affecting their neurological system. If they've got other levels of perception that many of the other children can't relate to and aren't gifted with, it can interfere with that child's learning. Learning a subject is very singular. And unfortunately, they are simply memory tasks. So what about the child that's working on multiple tracks? What about the child that can see underneath the surface of the teacher or other children or so on and so forth, that's being presented with what appears to be a simple task, but its focus isn't on that task because there are more interesting things, better truths to be explored and understood, the stuff between the lines. So some kids can see between the lines. Some kids can understand underneath. That's a perceptive depth quality. And if that's your child, your child's going to get bored in school. Now, to understand why they're labeled, you got to understand the history of analysis in the United States. It started with Freud. And Freud had an interesting story. Freud was a neurologist. And a woman walked in that couldn't move her arm. And Freud, being a neurologist, did the workup on the woman and found that no matter what he applied neurologically, as a neurologist, somewhere in the 1880s or so, he couldn't provide a solution, as did the other doctors. Intuitively, and with all his creative intelligence, Freud ended up talking, creating verbal dialogue with the woman, and getting her hand to move. Normally, the woman returned to normal function. And Freud looked at it and said, there's something going on that has to do with relationship. And that was the birth of psychotherapy. Now, from that, Freud developed a very interesting reality. He looked at the child as a product of what it experiences in the first year of its life, calling that the oral stage, where the child develops its psyche in relationship to the mother's breast, where it learns to gratify itself in breastfeeding. And if that was finessed correctly, if the child was satisfied, if it had its basic level of comfort evolved during that phase, it went on to a second anal stage where the child learned the normal defecation reflex. And around these things, you have many, many potentials for mishap. If the child isn't breastfed, if the breast is pulled away, if it's not breastfed long enough, so on and so forth, you've got many developmental issues to deal with later on. The anal stage, the same thing. If the child does not learn the pleasure through the defecation reflex because the mother isn't there, or there's some anomaly in that process for whatever reason, the child does not learn pleasure through its body. And that pleasure, in the ideal of how Freud saw it, culminated in the relationship with the mother, where through the Oedipal stage, the third stage, the child goes into what sometimes is a very difficult moment for the father, where the child goes into a world between itself and the mother where they reflect to each other their mutual beauty. And that's that bonding stage with the mother that mothers understand so well, where it's just you and your baby and you're in this state of bliss. And very often dad is on the outside. And then he'll get his time. He'll come his way. But in the beginning, it's that baby and the mommy and the bliss they see in each other's eyes. And as that child is satisfied through this process, there comes a point, and every mom remembers that point, where there's this moment where that child begins to develop its sense of self. That it wants what it wants. The I of the child develops. We call this the ego. And as the ego develops, the child begins to separate from the mother. And this can mean so many important moments. But if that moment where the child then separates from the mother during the Oedipal stage, if that's finessed correctly, then that child starts to transfer the vibration it develops with the mother. And that vibration is transferred out into the world. Now, the bliss behind that process, the bliss behind being breastfed, the bliss behind learning the pleasure of the defecation reflex, the bliss behind the evolution with a mother, where it looks into the mother's eyes and it feels central to all of existence. When that bliss begins to transfer out into the world, and the mother doesn't covet it, and the mother lets it go, my child's growing up, the mother says. You got it down. That first 6 or 7 years, from the oral to the anal to the Oedipal to the post-Oedipal stage, determine the child. Now, all the mishaps along the way, where the child's breastfed incorrectly, not long enough, where the baby bites the nipple and the mother pulls away, the mother doesn't have any milk for this one, so on and so forth. All the way to the mother coveting the child, where the child should pull away from the relationship, and yet the mother, and this may be in her own subconscious, covets the child, refuses to let the child grow up. All these varieties of mishaps laid the foundation for psychoanalysis. And so you would come in and sit down and be analyzed by your shrink. And that's the way it began. Then a man named Wilhelm Reich, came in the 1920s. He was a student of Freud's, and he had a fundamentally riveting perception. And that perception was is that all these errors that could occur created a defense, an armor, a neurotic character, exterior to what the child really was, that it's the expression of its soul, its creative force was blocked. And that blockage occurred not just in the psyche, but it occurred in the body itself. So to Freud, Reich added the word body armor. Freud created a sense of how to let the creative passion of the child flow. And all the mishaps along the way was what basic early psychoanalysis consisted of. Reich came along and said, this blockage now is not just in the psyche, it's in the body itself, and you have to address it in the body. And then Carl Jung came along, and he gave his slant on it, with much association as Freud had to the dream. All this is going to lead to attention deficit disorder. All this is going to lead to Prozac. All this is going to lead to Zoloft, Wellbutrin, Ativan. All this is going to lead to the millions of dollars spent each year trying to cultivate your psyche. It began with a woman who couldn't move her hand and a man, Sigmund Freud, who cured it completely. And in the old days, whether it was Freudian psychology, Reichian emotional therapy, going into the body to take out the psyche, or Jung, where the dream analysis took on a special slant, whether it was Freud or Reich or Jung, right up into the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, if you were educated, if you understood the psychoanalytic movement, if you had problems, psychologically based problems, you would see a psychiatrist. And that psychiatrist would put you on the couch and you would talk and you develop relationship. This is a very avant.